Our prayer song today is, Lord, I Need You. And we'll start in song, and Aubrey will pray with us, and then we will finish in song.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart, and you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where risk is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh,
most holy God, these are such amazing moments, Lord, when we are in your presence that we don't want these moments to end. Thank you that this prayer can be a prayer where we just stand with this petition before you. Lord, I need you. Every moment of my life, every step of the way. Because, Lord, where would we be without you? But in the moment we call that, Lord, you call back and you say, so follow me and walk with me. And you challenge us to take up that faith walk with you. And we thank you for that. Thank you for ministering into our lives in this moment, for taking your word and breaking the word and opening it up and sending it into our lives so that, Lord, we might be changed and we might become light and salt so that you, Lord, might shine brightly and you might be seen. It is you who gave your word through the gift of your Holy Spirit. And in the next few moments, as we take this word and open the word, we so need, Lord, that you anoint that word and just allow us to understand what you are trying to say to us, your children. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for the gift that you are. Thank you for the grace that came in you, Lord Jesus. So speak, Lord. Speak, for we need you. In Jesus' name we pray.
So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
We are so blessed with an amazing group of people that share their gifts and serve with us as they lead us in worship. It's so wonderful. Lawrence joined us this morning, and so neat to see that. It's great to see Lene and Rachel up there with us again. That's how God takes care of us in this place. The one song we sang, Hosanna, to see the new generation rising up and taking their place, and we see that. I say this every time I use this book, and this is one of the books that I read often. If you have not read The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there is one book that you have missed, sadly, and you must read this book. It is an amazing book. You can read it over and over, and every time you learn something new. In the first chapter, he speaks about cheap grace. I kind of had a chuckle when I read this again. It so sounded like someone down south who talks about false news or fake news. He talks about cheap grace. And Bonhoeffer says, cheap grace is the deadly enemy of our church. Cheap grace means grace that is sold on the market like cheap jack's wares. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, the living and incarnate Christ. In other words, Bonhoeffer says, we make grace cheap when we go and we say, thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful for your forgiveness. I'm so grateful for salvation that you brought, for your life that you gave for me, that you saved me. And thank you so much for that. But when it comes to the moment where Christ then says to me, now let's talk about this grace that you have received in this life, how to live, how to act, how to follow me. And that's the moment where I say, can we talk about that later? We'll get to the following thing, we'll get to the living thing, we'll get to the doing thing a little later. Right now, I'm fine just to receive the grace. So when Christ then comes and he talks to me about love others like you love yourself, or when he asks me, as your Father has forgiven you, you need to forgive others. Or when he speaks about when you live your life, speak the truth and live a life of truth, it becomes really costly and it feels really difficult. And in a sense, it is. But here's the thing. When Jesus calls us to become Christ followers, he never says it's going to be not difficult. What he does say is that it is not the most difficult. Because the way of the world is way more difficult than that of Christ. And let me explain that before I get to the scripture passage that we're going to do this morning. I preached this sermon, I can't remember when. And when I preached the sermon, I actually had a yoke on the stage and I put the yoke on my shoulders. Can you remember what Matthew 11, 28, 30 says? Come on, there's coffee on the line for whoever knows what it says. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. No one. There you go. Lynn, you've got it. Ashley, put it up there. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Look at the next part. Take my yoke, and this is where I took that yoke and showed you. Put it and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember what I said to you then? I said, see the action. And I had this yoke which was made for two oxen. Elsie's dad's oxen had that yoke. And I said, if you put this yoke on, Jesus says, take the yoke with me. He doesn't let me carry this heavy yoke alone. He comes alongside me. He doesn't say it's not difficult. He says it's difficult. It's a yoke. But if you tether yourself to me and you come alongside me, it makes it easier and we can do this together. But what does the world do? The world says, here's the yoke. Puts it on me. And when it puts it on me, it makes it even more. He says, you need more of this. You need to do more of that. You have to have more of this. You have to see more of this. And it just becomes more and more and more of a burden. And it becomes more and more difficult. So I want to talk to you this morning, not about the more difficult road. I want to talk to you about the wonderful road of sharing the yoke with Jesus and following Christ and how to do that. And for that, we're going to read a passage that is one of my favorites, and I'd read it, I think, every year, and somehow we preach a sermon every year. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, actually the Greek says egeneto, which means sometime, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and now you remember I told you Gennesaret is the other name for the lake of Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. Gennesaret is the Hebrew word kinesaret, which means a harp, and it looks like a harp. So, by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around Jesus and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything, and they followed Jesus. They pulled their boats upon the shore, which were their livelihood. And they left them, and they left everything, and they followed Jesus. What a beautiful thing to see. What a beautiful thing to do. But not that easy, right? Not that easy this morning when we look at ourselves and say, you want to follow Jesus? You got to let go of everything. But what about my family, Lord? I need to take care of them. What about my sick parents, my old parents that I need to take care of? What about them, Lord? What about the job that people count on me for, Lord? I how do I just leave everything? Maybe we shouldn't start there. Maybe that's the wrong question to ask. Maybe we should start at a different place and then come back to, and they left everything. So let me take you on a little journey of following Christ and where it starts and where it ends. The first thing I want you to notice is that the journey of following Christ starts with a very easy thing to do. It starts with listening. Verse 1. There was a crowd. The crowd followed Jesus. And when Jesus was teaching them about the word of God, they sat and they listened. Following Christ starts with this easy thing to do. To listen. They listened because they were people just like us. People who had needs. People who struggled with their faith. People who had questions. People whose life was just sometimes really, really hard. And they needed to listen and hear. They needed him to break that word open and say, here's the word, hear the word. The wonderful thing that happens in the listening, the more I take time to sit with Jesus and listen for the word, the more I get to know him and the more I get to trust him. And when I get to know him and when I get to trust him, I get to the point where I can start asking my own questions. Lord, I'm trying to follow you, but I stumble and fall so often. What do I do about that? Lord, I try so much to live a life that is honoring you, but so often, Lord, I don't make it and I fall back into my old bad habits and I struggle with that. What do I do with that? And in those moments of listening and trust, that's when I hear him and he starts speaking. And my life starts changing. And I want more and I want to follow more. But it starts in such a simple place. Listen. And if you want to listen, you've come to the right place. And I don't mean Sunday mornings. That too, hopefully. But if you want to listen, on a Monday there's Alpha. And one of the big things about Alpha that Alexander runs for us is the question mark. It's a place where I come and listen and I can ask all my questions. There's Bible studies, plenty of those. Women's Bible studies for all. I'm going to do a Bible study one of these months for you again. There's Bible studies where we can sit and listen. There's small groups where I can become friends. There's a whole bunch of them that sit with each other always. They can't get enough of each other. But where they come and they share a meal and they share their love and but they also listen for the word of God, and their lives change. There are so many moments, not just my quiet moments when I do my devotions and I listen for God's word, but listening with God's people. Can I challenge you to start a program of listening in your life? Doesn't stop there. The second thing that following Christ does to us, it makes us a little uncomfortable and inconveniences us. And that's so countercultural, right? Our whole culture is all about convenience. Remember, we even called the stores convenience stores because they make it convenient. And life has become even more convenient nowadays. I mean, I don't even have to go to the bank to deposit a check. I have an app for that. Take a picture. It's deposited in my bank account. I don't have to get out of my car to get my Java. I just drive through Timmy's. Double, double. There I go. It's so convenient. I don't even have to go and do the takeaway myself. There's an app for that. three-course meal and the Italian is there. Or the Greek is there. It's so convenient. But following Christ, sometimes Christ just inconveniences us a little bit. Let me show you that from the story. I love the story. There's so many angles in the literature that, it's written that you can tell a million stories, but I just love this little angle again. So here's Jesus and he's teaching and people are listening, and then there's a little side group going on. There's two boats that are pulled out on the shore, and there's a couple of fishermen out there. And they're busy cleaning their nets, because when we read the story, they were out fishing the whole night. They didn't catch a single fish, though they were kind of miserable. So now they're preparing the boats, they're cleaning the nets, they're fixing the nets, they're getting it all ready, putting it there so when dusk comes, they can jump in the boats, because that's the time to go catch fish, and they're out there and they can go catch their fish. So they're good, they're fine, all is good in their life. And then Jesus slowly moves their way. And he says, that boat, boy, Peter must have thought, why does he always pick on me? Peter's boat. He says, listen, Peter, and he's not very subtle about this. He just gets in the boat and he says, push the boat out. I need to preach. People are pushing me into the water. I need a pulpit. Push me out. Pushes the boat out. Of course, Peter has to sit and do what? Listen, interesting moment. So pushes the boat out. Can you imagine what's going through Peter's mind? Jesus, I wish you'd just kind of get your act together. When you saw us coming in with the boats, why didn't you stop us and say, can I just get on the boat before you push the thing out? No, we've pushed it out. We're busy. This is not convenient for us. We got other things to do. You know, I got a family to feed. Didn't catch fish. Now I need to get this right. This is not good for me. Can you come another time? Why didn't you take the other boat? It's not so convenient. But sometimes following Christ is not so convenient. He kind of pushes me a little bit out of my comfort zone, where it's a little more uncomfortable to sit in the chair that he puts me, where it's uncomfortable to sit in the boat when my OCD head says there's a little flower lying on there, go pick it up and put it away. Sometimes following Christ makes me a little uncomfortable. But when I get out of that zone, boy, do things change. And maybe this morning, can I challenge you? Maybe you've been here for a while, but you haven't been back to come have a coffee with us, because you'd feel like, I don't think it's my thing. Maybe you're missing out on something so big, because maybe you meet a brand new friend back there around the coffee. Maybe there's a gift that you can give to someone that they have not received because you have not been there. Maybe you've been afraid to go and say, I can help with the children. But following Christ also means sometimes to inconvenience yourself a little bit and allow him to push you out of that. And then neat things will happen. Because look at the third thing. Not only does following Christ mean listening, not only does following Christ mean that he'll push me a little bit out of my comfort zone into an inconvenient place, but it also asks of me to do something, to take Christ with me to go and fish. Let me take you back to the story. So Jesus is on the boat, he preaches, then he's done. What does he do? He says, okay, Peter, now let's set out to the deep end. Let's go catch fish. What's he doing? He's not asking Peter to do something that Peter hasn't done before. Peter has fished for zillions of times in his life before, thousands of times been out there, been fishing. What is he asking Peter to do? He's asking Peter to go fish with Jesus in a new way. He's never fished in the day, doesn't fish in the day. Jesus says, let's go fish. You've done that 1,000 times, but let's do it my way. My way. Christ following is to take Jesus with you to go fish in a new way. His way. You You saw Peter's little story. The Greek tells it differently, and I've told you that before. The way he speaks to Jesus, he calls him captain. The word master there is actually pistates in the Greek, means captain. So, yeah, right. I wish you'd stay with the preaching thing. Just you preach. Us guys, we know about fishing. You know, last night we tried to catch fish. We didn't. So why do you think we're going to catch now? It's not going to work. But in any case, you said, let's do it, so let's do it. But in that moment, when I allow Jesus to let me do something that I've done a million times before, but now doing it his way, see what happens. The moment he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word, and we're going to do the fishing your way, and they put the nets out, all of a sudden in the broad daylight, when the fish are supposed to be way down there because it's cold and it's not up the hot place they want to be up there, the fishes are full of in the nets, and the nets want to tear, and they got the boats full of fish. What happens when I follow Christ and I allow him to take me and do what I've always done, but do it his way? Then things change in a big way. And my life changes in a big way. Something that I might have missed out on for so long. But then I need to go fishing with Jesus his way. Little story of Peter and Jesus, let's leave that for another day. But let me show you how this ends, because we started, and I said, and they left everything and they followed Jesus. And my words were, we can't start there because it's way too difficult. But once you've started the journey and you just listened, once you've continued the journey and you said, okay, Jesus, I'm fine. You can inconvenience me a little bit. I'll take that. And once I've taken that step in faith to say, okay, I know about fishing, but I think you do it in a different way. Can we go do it your way? See what happens? That last verse says, then I can come to the point where I can surrender it all. We'd say boots and all, they'd say boats and all. Because that was their livelihood. Their boats is what took care of them. But they left them. And then they could follow Jesus. He doesn't start there by saying, let it all go. He takes me on a journey. A journey where I learn. Where I learn about him. Where I learn to trust him. Where I learn to see the gifts that come. And then when I surrender it all, does my life ever change? It's never the same again. Can you imagine the loss for Peter and John and the sons of Zebedee, all of them? Can you imagine the loss if that day they said, forget you, dude. You do your preaching. You don't get in our boat. No, we're not going to go out there fishing. Can you imagine the loss for them? Can you imagine the loss for us if they hadn't taken Jesus and walked with him? So can you imagine the loss if we don't go on that journey? You and I. Not for ourselves, but for our children. For the generations that come. So that they can sit and listen and learn and see and want to follow. For that's the journey of Christ following. Grace is not cheap. When he gives the grace, he also gives the call. Follow me. So let's go fishing. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.